Father God, we just give you glory today for who you are and what you're doing. And we just love you. We just pray that there will be ears to hear today, that you would speak everyone's love language. Father God, and just light a fire deep within us that burns ever brighter to go ye into all the world. So just what is street ministry? Mark 16:15 says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Simply put, it's just sharing the love of Jesus with a lost and hurting world. There's many people out there who don't know who Jesus is. And we meet up with people all the time on the street who don't even know basic Bible stories. I take my shofar out there and I try to tell them about the Battle of Jericho and Jericho, what's that? And so actually it's a wonderful thing because when they come into the kingdom, they're not going to be exposed to religion, you know, and have to get a lot of stuff off of them. And they will just be discipled, and they'll just be fresh and on fire for God. So how did our street ministry start? Well, Reverend Mark has been out there for years evangelizing people, giving gospel tracts, sharing the good news of Jesus for years, anywhere that he happened to be. And years ago, I used to love to go to New Street. I love nothing better than to sit there and talk to the prostitutes and tell them how much Jesus loved them. And then I stopped because I was all by myself. And I was in the emergency room also. And I was the nurse who gravitated toward the homeless people. And I just loved them and would love all over them. I would give them prophetic words when they came in and really had a heart for those who have felt that God has left them behind. And I'm no longer in the emergency room. And when I retired and God said, Elaine, you need to be out there on the street. You know, this is your time. So I knew Mark was in Wilmington and he was going out. So I said, Mark, do you think I could come join you, you know, on Saturdays? And he said, sure. So we started out. First it was Reverend Mark as a one, and then, you know, I came in and it was a team of two. And yesterday we had seven from here and two more. So we had a team of nine out there on the streets yesterday. So God is enlarging his territory. And it's just awesome. Matthew 25:40 says, the king will reply, truly, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And you know, when we were first went in, out on the street together as a team, we were in Rodney Square, and we weren't specifically targeting the homeless. It was just anybody. And then we began to notice there were homeless all around us, and there were needs of the homeless. And so it was getting cold. And so we got together some scarves and some hats and some gloves, and we started to give those out to those who were homeless. So how did we recognize the homeless, and how do we recognize the homeless around us? Proverbs 14:31b says, whoever is kind to the needy honors God. And isn't that your heart, to honor God in all that you do? Well, number one, there's T-shirts in 40-degree weather. Now, it is true that some people have hot flashes, and so they may be in T-shirts too. They will put their coat back on, okay? The homeless will not put a coat back on because they lack a coat. Backpacks or garbage bags. And yes, a lot of people carry around backpacks today, but the homeless you can recognize because they are just so jam-packed full they can't get another thing in it. And plus they might be carrying a garbage bag because they have no home. They have to carry everything that they own, any kind of clothing with them. At all times. They can't lay it down for a moment. People who sit at bus stops but never take a bus. We started noticing that. You know, buses would go by in Rodney Square and people would be sitting there, you know, a couple hours later. And because it's out of the weather, they've got sides to it. They can get maybe a little bit of warmth in there. So then we started approaching them. And just being observant at your local Wawa, you know. The Wawas here in Dover I didn't used to notice this until we started working with the homeless. But if you go into Wawa and somebody's standing outside, and you come back out and they're still standing outside, and tomorrow when you go back, they're still standing outside wearing the same thing, chances are they're homeless. Do not be afraid to approach them. Go up to them and say, "Are you hungry?" Because they will be quite honest with you. They will say yes. And then if you don't have any food with you, go in there and what can I buy you? And buy them a lunch. One thing that I have learned to do with working with the homeless is to keep in my trunk of my car little packs of crackers or like tuna fish with the canned tuna fish that you pop top with crackers in there and some bottled water. And so then if I meet people in front of the library or I go into the post office and I see somebody, you can give that out. In fact, I'm going to need a new car eventually and trade mine in, and I'm afraid I'm going to need a U-Haul truck to get everything out of my trunk that I put in there just for the homeless. But that will help them out quite a bit. They hang out at libraries because libraries are open except on Sunday. And in the wintertime, that's a place where you can go in as long as you're behaving yourself and you have a book, whether you can read or not. If you have a book in front of you, they'll let you stay until closing. So even downtown here, the library, they will go in to get warm, the post office downtown. And, you know, as I said, don't be afraid to approach people that you may think are homeless, and ask them if they're hungry. And if you're not sure, you can just go on up there and just sit down beside them is what we do on the streets. And we say, "Hi, I'm Elaine, and I love Jesus, and I love to pray. Can I pray for you today?" And most people will say yes. And we'll accept that. And recognize that no one sits on a park bench for fun when it's 30 degrees outside, unless you're a snowman or an Eskimo. Or if you see them going through trash cans. And I think this is, we didn't address the food with Reverend Mark. I mean, we knew that they needed scarves and gloves and things like that, but we really weren't thinking about food until one day we met Frank. It was the first and only time we met Frank. But Frank still lives with us in our heart. He was an elderly man, and we saw him actually going through a garbage can looking for food. He had on a thin fleece jacket, and it was cold outside. So we didn't have any food, but we did have a hat and gloves. So as he's shivering in the cold, and we're telling him how much Jesus loves him, I'm putting on a hat while he's trying to put on the gloves. And I turned to Mark and I said, "We've got to do something about food." And at first I thought, well, there's a Jimmy John's right down there on the corner. I could go in there and throw $50 down and say, "Look, you know, if you see people going through trash cans, give them a free sandwich from this money. And we'll just come back and just replenish the supply." But that's not what God had us do. I started making up meal packs for the homeless. And we started out with 7. But digest the fact of people having to go through a garbage can in order to get a meal. They don't know who has bitten into that hamburger that they find, but they're willing to eat it. They don't know or don't care that it's 3 days old. You would be surprised at some of the people who are actually on the street, and places like Wawa and Royal Farms, they're very nice about giving away, you know, old food. It's still good to eat. But you know what? Out there in the hot sun, I'm a nurse, and this is salad. We're talking macaroni salad, and they're eating it. And, you know, I think God gives grace to them that they don't get food poisoning. But they are willing to eat anything because they are hungry. Think about it. When we fast for the Lord, when the Lord calls us to fast, yes, we're hungry. But we know the end is coming. We know that at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, I can eat whatever I want, and it'll be something good. The homeless are on a fast all the time. They don't know where their next meal is going to come from. And so in our meal packs, and all the ladies that go with us make up meal packs, and the people are so grateful. Just a simple peanut butter and jelly sandwich because it's non-perishable. We put in a piece of soft fruit. I learned that the hard way. I gave apples one time, but homeless people have poor dentition. And so they really have difficulty biting into it. But a soft fruit, they love bananas and little tangerines or clementines. And we actually put a dessert in, like cookies or Little Debbie's. And you may be thinking to yourself, well, why give them something that's really non-nutritionally, you know, cookies and stuff like that. But my mother taught me that. When I was growing up, we had a woman that knocked on our door, and she wanted money because she needed money to feed her family. And my mother said, I don't have any money to give you, but I'll give you groceries. And she went to the pantry, and she fixed her two great big grocery bags full of food. And I'm sitting there as a teenager girl, and I'm watching my mother put a bag of potato chips and a bag of chocolate chip cookies in this bag. And I thought, you know, they need food. And that is my after-school snack for this coming week. But I didn't say anything. And when they left, I asked my mother about it. And she said, Elaine, poor people need treats too. Everyone needs treats. And you know what? Everyone needs treats. Everyone needs hugs. Everyone needs Jesus, but not in that order. And Jesus is number one. And so we gave out, I think, just a couple weeks ago, over our almost 100 meal packs. And you know what? We just have fun making them up. We all praise the Lord, and we insert maybe sometimes a little Father's Love You letter or something that will, a prayer even, that will encourage their day. And some of our friends will come up to us and show us that they have it in their pocket, something that we've given them months before. So just who are the homeless? Proverbs 3:27-28 says, do not withhold good to those whom it is due when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I'll get it for you, when you already have it with you. So some of our homeless are military veterans. They are out on the street. They have served our country well. But they come back, and because of circumstances or even things that they have seen in war-torn countries, they are homeless. And a good example of that is a man named Mike who we met. He was crying. He was sitting on the curb one day, and I went down and sat beside him and started talking to him. He did not feel, he just wanted to die. He did not want to live, and he didn't feel that God could forgive him because he had served in Afghanistan, and he had been forced to kill women and children. He said, I think God can forgive everything but killing women and children. And we said, God can forgive that too. And so here was a man that was crying when we met him. And when we left, he's waving to us all. He's grinning. We have prayed with him. He now knows that Jesus can forgive anything. And he felt like he had a new lease on life. We give hope to those without hope. Jesus does that. Then there are the people who have lost their jobs through downsizing and layoffs, and then all of a sudden, you know, they can't afford their rent or their mortgage. Tanya and her husband here in Dover are two people who that has happened to, and they live in tents in the woods now. But they're still believing God. There are people with mental health issues. You know, years ago, people with mental health issues used to live in institutions, and then all of a sudden the government says, let them out. And they were let out. They didn't have any kind of medications to help them with. And just imagine if you were diagnosed with schizophrenia and all of a sudden you're out. You're told to go out. You don't have a home. As a nurse, people who suffer with schizophrenia are not like us. They could be looking at, I could be looking at Nancy here and, you know, I would see Nancy. But a schizophrenic would be looking at Nancy and she'd be Nancy and then all of a sudden she sees a demon. Or it could be a tree or something else. And they just can't quite focus. It's demonic and they need deliverance. But the world doesn't offer that. And so they're out there and they are on the street. And then there's the drug and alcohol and other addictions. And you may say, well, looky here. They made their bed, let them lay in it. But you know what? They have heart wounds, deep, deep heart wounds that they self-medicate with drugs and alcohol to ease the pain. And you know, there's other faith-based ministries out there that, and I think it's wonderful, they give out food bags, they give out blessing bags, they say God bless you, and it's all wonderful, but they don't get to know the stories. And the people, our friends on the street, know that we care about them and that we love them because we have gotten to know them. And as we get to know them, and the ones who are addicted to drugs and alcohol, you will hear stories like, my mother left me when I was 13 years old. Where I was 8 years old and I came home and found my father hanging from the rafters. Incredible, incredible heart wounds. No wonder they turned to drugs and to alcohol. And one such man is Brian, and he's become a dear, dear friend of ours. We found Brian in a bus stop, and it was the first and only time that God gave me a revelation of somebody's name. And I just walked up to him and said, Brian, how did you know my name? I said, I don't, but Jesus does. And as we talked to him, he shared with us how his son, a year before, had been shot and killed on the streets. And he had turned to alcohol. And at that time that we met him, he was waiting for to get into a rehab facility down in Sussex County. As it turned out, waiting lists are long, whether it's for shelters or any kind of rehab. And so they can have an opportunity to sink deeper and deeper. But Brian Jesus turned his life around. He did not have to go to rehab. He now is employed. He has a part-time job. He has his own apartment. And he helps us on the street. Reverend Mark and I had been praying. We want to get out we want to expand the tent pegs outside of Rodney Square. And so we were searching for this tent city in Wilmington. And we had no idea where it was until we met Brian. And so Brian took us to the Christina River. And that's where we found the ones who don't live in the shelters. They have become our friends too. He took us to several other places in Wilmington. And he is a dearly beloved brother in the Lord. And then there's the elderly. People live on Social Security, and sometimes they can't afford housing with Social Security. We have elderly people. One such is Herman. He doesn't even live in the shelter. He lives out on the street. But he is so precious. He was the one day when I went and I sat down beside him and said, how can I pray for you, Herman? And he said, let's just pray for a revival across this nation. So we sat there and held hands and looked out over the Christina River and prayed for revival, a great spiritual awakening in this country. And also the homeless could be you and I, but for the grace of God. And as I said before, not everyone gets into the homeless shelter. There's a long waiting list. And sometimes if you have addictions, you can't go in anyway. So what's it like to live on the street? Well, you're hungry, you're thirsty. There's lack of medical care. I met a man here in Dover named Tom. And when I approached him, there was all this pus coming out of his ear. And you and I, if we have an earache, we can go to the doctor and get it taken care of real quick, just a couple drops. But he lacked medical care. He lacked transportation to the hospital. And, that could be very serious. And actually, I took Tom to the emergency room, and he was admitted for 3 days because they thought he had an abscess on his brain. But it turned out he did not, and he's doing well today. But for us to even go to the hospital, we just think, oh, my, I got to be in the hospital. But you know what? It's a chance for them to get 3 square meals a day, TV, and a bed, an actual bed with a pillow. So they have difficulty with medical care. And even if they have a doctor's appointment, it costs $2 to ride the bus. Well, $2 is a drop in the bucket to us, but it's very expensive to them. And so they miss appointments. They miss getting medications. There's hypothermia and heat stroke. And yes, we have code purples here all across our nation now, but it didn't used to be. And they open up their doors to when it goes below, I think it's 36 degrees. But how many people here know that it's cold when it's 40 degrees? When I was a nurse in Chicago, I will never forget this either. There was a homeless man that came in, and unfortunately he died. But he was laying out on a park bench in the middle of Chicago winter. And I remember in the emergency room tapping his leg, and it was frozen solid. Was like wood. That should never happen to any human being whatsoever. And even in the emergency room, sometimes people would come in and security would want to throw them out. And that's terrible. I worked the night shift, so if homeless people came in, I would say, here's a sandwich, here's coffee, here's a warm blanket. You do have to be out of here by 6 before I get off. And if security comes around, you just come up to me. I was a triage nurse. We'll just make out a chart, and I will never call you. So you can go back there. I'm going to do a poor triage job tonight. You're never going to get called. So when security would go up to them, then they would say, well, I'm a patient here. You know, I'd just say, I'll get to him. But Code Purples, and even with Code Purples, they do provide dinner for them. But they're out on the street again at 8 a.m., and they've got to be out in the cold until it's time to go back in again at 5. I am grateful for Code Purples. Even up in Wilmington, at the shelter, sometimes when they actually open up the room so that everybody can go in when it's cold outside or when it's raining really hard, it's a dreary place to be. It's a room about this size. They have a TV, but it's never turned on. And people just sit there. There's not even enough chairs for everybody. People are laying on the floor, and they're just sitting so hopeless in the chair. So we just go in bright and cheery. We brought Jesus, and we give them meal packs. Reverend Mark will preach a sermon to them, and you know what? By that we pray with them, and by the time we leave, there's smiles everywhere because we brought the hope of Jesus. They love us, and they even let me blow the shofar inside that building. So, to shift the atmosphere. So they're wet, they're cold, no place to dry off clothes. There's spider bites and raccoon bites and other assorted animal, reptile, insect issues. We know of a man who was bit by a spider this summer and spent 3 days in the hospital. And a man here in Dover, in front of the library, no less, got bit by a raccoon and had to get rabies shots. They have, imagine, nowhere to bathe, let alone to use the bathroom. No bathrooms. We had a man yesterday who lived in the woods, and he's being taken to church today, and he wanted to wash his hair. He said, I cannot go to church with dirty hair. I said, Paul, Jesus said, come as you are. He said, I know he said that, Elaine, but I want to wash my hair. So he had a bar of Irish Spring soap, so he got taken care of, and we prayed that he wouldn't get pneumonia because it was cold last night. They have a fear of being assaulted. Even if you are a big linebacker, you ask them what they want for prayer. I need protection. Pray for protection for me out here on the street. Because it is, you know, there is great risk. They get assaulted. They get robbed. And then there's those feelings of hopelessness and despair that they have, that they feel like God has left them, has forgotten them, and that they're, you know, why even live? So why minister to the homeless? The Message says in Romans 10:14, but how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? And that's why Scripture exclaims, a sight to take your breath away. Grand processions of people telling all the good things of God. And as I said before, we build relationship with one another. And you know what? Gone are the heyday, the churches. There's no crossover of the denominational barriers. Jesus has just destroyed denominational barriers. And I see small churches coming together, even here in Dover, and we're sharing our gifts, and we're loving the lost. And it's just wonderful. And we build relationships with our friends on the street. And I just want to tell you that yesterday, I don't know what you were doing at 5 o'clock, but I will share with you what I was doing at 5 o'clock. And as they say down south, it don't get no better than this. I was in the middle of a woods. We had been praying to find Tent City here in Dover. And last week we found Tent City. So at 5 o'clock, I was in the middle of a woods, great big mud puddle. It was cold. We were with 7 of our friends. We had a guitar player. We had a makeshift drum. I had my flags, my worship flags. And in the middle of this woods, we worshiped God, all of us together. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And it was a sacred place yesterday, a sacred place. place. It was a place where Jesus would be. Jesus associated with the lepers and the people that everybody else, society, wanted to cast aside. He loved them. He loves them still. He loves them still. So how can you help? Go ye into the world. Whether it's to the homeless, whether it's to, you know, if you live in Wild Quail, out there to your neighbor in Wild Quail, to your family, to your workplace. Just let Jesus shine forth from within you. So with a street ministry, you can donate money or practical helps. There is a GoFundMe page on the Lighthouse website and Facebook where we can purchase blankets for homeless people. We can purchase practical needs. And if you want to donate practical needs, all you have to do is call the church and arrange for a drop-off time for that. Things that they would need are they need thick socks for the winter. They need gloves. They need hats. They need scarves. You can even donate clothing for them. They need toothbrushes and toothpaste, shampoo, soap, even just in the little travel size, because remember, they're homeless and they gotta travel with all of this. But hand sanitizer, especially in the woods. Just flashlights are important, especially, you know, in going down dark paths. And they are so grateful. Tents, gently used tents, sleeping bags, as I said, blankets, anything to keep them warm. And I just wanted to share a few things that's happening in Dover now. I'm just so excited about the outreach in Dover. There is a tent on Legislative Mall the last Sunday of every month. And they have continuous praise and worship. They're inviting other churches to become involved. You can give short messages. You can worship with them. If you have a worship band, you can pray with people. We go around on an evangelistic outreach between 10 and 12 that day. We knock on doors. We invite the homeless. And they actually feed a hot meal to the homeless because they don't get fed here in Dover on Sunday. And they also have free clothing giveaway for the homeless. And it's just a wonderful time, just a sweet, sweet, wonderful time with them. So you can become involved in that. We're also praying for a building because, you know, the homeless have other needs besides food and shelter. They need to be able to get the skills to get jobs. And, you know, they may not know how to get a birth certificate. And I talked to a man who had been on the street for 14 years. And he said, Elaine, you no longer can walk into a business and apply in person. It has to be on the computer. And they don't have computers to use. So we're searching for a building here in Dover that can be used as counseling facilities, deliverance, prayer, a discipleship. And we have people that work in, I forget what it's called, but where you can get a birth certificate and can help them get a birth certificate. We have people that can do resources to teach them skills. Even transitional housing is what we're working on for them until they can get established. Because the homeless, once they get on their feet, will return and help those also who are on the street. We met a man yesterday who I heard him telling someone. He became a part of us. We exchanged information. But he was telling somebody, he said, I know what you're talking about because I have been in prison. I have been homeless. But look what God did with me. So, you know, it's return. It creates a ripple effect for that. There's so much that you can do. And even just pray. Pray for it. We need prayer. Every day that we come out, we need prayer. And there is a Facebook page, Ministry of the Streets, where there's a little blog of what God does just with us each week. And we always say it's the best week ever, and we joke about it, but it truly is the best week ever because God does something different. But we need to be undergirded with prayer for that. I know when I was in Africa, we had people praying 24 hours. They would take like little 15-minute slots. And you know what? When we're stopped by the army in Ghana and they make everybody get out of the car and line up and they've got their guns there, somebody back home was praying because then they said, God bless you. Back in the car, you can go. And so prayer is critical. And we also share prayer requests for the individual friends that we have that may have a need. And we've seen God actually transform people. It's just wonderful. Revival is here. The question is, will you be a part? Psalm 90, verse 17 says, may the favor of our Lord, our God, rest on us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And Father God, we just thank you. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you love our friends on the street. They are precious to you. Lord, speak to each individual heart today. What part do we play, Father God? You saved us. It's the greatest gift we've ever had. Lord, use us to speak of you on the streets wherever we go, Father God. May all that we do give you honor, give you fame, give you glory. All for you, Lord. All for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.